Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, update from Nebraska with Malia Shirley. As things continue to develop live while we're on air, a detransitioner's horrific story of how the trans assembly line ruined her life and what she's doing to fight back. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Most important organization in America. If you like what our program is doing and you want to get involved with the Charlie Kirk Show and listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free, go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Check it out right now, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Nebraska has some of the best people in the country. We're getting hundreds of emails saying, what in the fresh was that? Oh, we got to wait till next year, man. Well, joining us now is a total patriot. She's a special person. I've known her for quite a while. She's a Turning Point alum, one of the original Turning Point leaders, and she's on the ground in Nebraska. She knows her stuff. Malia Shirley. Malia, welcome to the program. Great to have you on. You know your stuff. What is the latest on the ground here? I mean, so I heard, oh, we got to wait till next year. This thing's not dead. We're like one or two votes away. I mean, and even if it fails, we dust ourselves off and we figure it out. Malia, what's going on here?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Charlie. So we have multiple paths forward here. We can add it as an amendment to a bill that's already on general file. Governor Pillen can call a special session for it. We can also encourage Speaker Arch to bring Lippincott's bill that is already in committee. We have the votes to get it out of committee. We can bring that to general file as well. So there are a few different paths that we can take. What we're trying to do right now is Senator Lippincott mentioned that we're three votes short to reach that 33 threshold to get it past the filibuster. What no one has mentioned yet that I've heard is we only need 33 votes for cloture, but we need 25 votes for it to pass, and we already have the 25 votes for passage. So what we could do essentially is encourage some of those senators that might not want to vote for the bill to still vote yes on cloture, which is what senators have done for other pieces of legislation in the past.
Yeah, so you vote to allow it to go and then you vote against it. That makes perfect sense for me. So the filibuster rules, can they be changed?
So from what I have been told, I might need a fact check on this, but from what I have been told is the speaker has the ability to change the rules of the filibuster so long as he determines that sufficient debate has taken place. And because Senator Julie Slama brought an amendment up on a bill last night, it was debated for a few hours. And so he could essentially change the filibuster rules to say, you know, they've already debated on this. We can change it to X number of hours and then put it up for a vote as well.
So, I mean, the reason I asked this, Malia, is this, you know how important this is. You're on the front lines. We've been texting like crazy. She does a great job. And this is Turning Point's best in Nebraska, really incredible. Nebraska Freedom Coalition, they do a great job. Is that when we wanted to get a Supreme Court justice, McConnell, he got rid of the filibuster. And so there's a precedent. So this Speaker of the House, Arch, and again, we need to fact check it. He potentially could waive the cloture rule and just go to an up or down majority vote. I know that's unprecedented. I know I don't need a lecture on precedents from all these people. But is it possible?
So from what I have been told, we'd have to, again, resort to what the rules are outlined on the page of the state legislature. But the speaker does have the ability to change the rules. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so here we go. That's another path. I know that's unprecedented, all this, but I just, Malia, where does this come from? This whole idea, I just, help me understand. We got the eyes of the nation. We got millions of people watching. We got emails that are flooding in. This is the number one news story on the planet. And we're told, oh, just next election cycle. What is going on here?
So we have a big problem in Nebraska where people are just very complacent. They're very comfortable. They think, oh, you know, Nebraska, nice. We're this deep red state. We, nothing from the coasts are touching us. And they're just completely oblivious to what's actually happening on the ground. Now, over the past couple of years, we've really seen a groundswell of your average everyday patriots kind of tuning in and paying attention. Last legislative session was absolutely unprecedented in the pieces of legislation that we were able to bring forward and get passed. So the energy is there. But the issue is that we don't have the elected officials that are able to harness that energy and utilize it to their advantage, which is kind of what you've been seeing and getting frustrated with.
So let's just say hypothetical. Okay, so I can understand the argument. You don't want to remove the filibuster while this session happens. The governor calls a special session, and the Speaker of the House temporarily removes the filibuster rule for one vote. They do the up or down vote. You have the votes. Thanks so much, guys. Special session over. Why is that so hard?
Simply because so many Republicans don't want to go against the status quo. They're uncomfortable with change. They don't want to rock the boat. They see everyone as their friendly colleagues. You have Julie Slama and Michaela Kavanaugh saying they trust each other on the floor. They don't understand where we're at. They don't know what time it is.
Yeah, they don't know what time it is. I mean, just, I mean, I'm just kind of speechless here. I mean, is Nebraska somehow not affected by like Joe Biden's terror campaign against the country? So let's bring together. I don't want to be too preemptive here, because here's my other holding out hope, that I know that there's a lot of disagreements with the governor on certain stuff and Senator Ricketts, but they've both voiced support, and the eyes of the nation are now counting on them to get this done, not punt it to another cycle. Do you think that if Senator Ricketts and Governor Pillen really put some muscle behind this, it could potentially move some votes to get this thing done?
I think that they absolutely could. They do have a lot of influence over the people that are currently in the legislature. And if, again, we don't need 33 votes on the bill itself. We just need 33 votes for cloture. So if we can get a few of those people that are on the fence say, look, we don't know what you want here. We don't know what your game plan is, but you can vote no on the bill. We just need you to come together for cloture, especially for, you know, Senator McDonald, who just switched to the Republican Party. Like, we welcomed you with open arms when the entire Democrat Party turned their back on you. Give us a sign of good faith here. You don't have to vote for the bill, but let's put it up to a vote.
Yeah, exactly. So then let's go through the names. So how many people do we have to say no to cloture currently in Nebraska?
We need to switch three votes. And from what I am hearing, that is Senator Tom Brandt, Senator Mike McDonnell, and the third is up in the air. I've heard a lot of different names. But from what it seems to be is Senator Merv Reapy, who has kind of flopped on a few other votes in the past. He is a Republican. He has voiced support for this bill already. But he is also one of the ones that his name's been thrown around.
Got it. And so if that doesn't happen, we just have to go to plan B, which is then to say, hey, Mr. Speaker, you can remove the filibuster, which he's probably unlikely to do. Then plan C is call a special session. And no one knows if the filibuster exists in the special session or not. But plan C is, okay, even if they have the filibuster in the special session, and we're in the special session and we have the filibuster, then just wait it out. Just be like, hey, we're going to do a vote carousel. We're going to do it like the Speaker of the House with Kevin McCarthy and Speaker Johnson. We're going to go all night, all day. And just every time, and then the constituents will get engaged and get involved. So what is just, I want, Malia, you spend a lot of time with the people of Nebraska, not the politicians. The people are some of the greatest in the country. They're patriotic.
Oh, absolutely.
They're faithful.
Fighters.
Why are their leaders saying we have to wait till next year and we should just let Joe Biden become president?
again, I think it just stems down to the fact that they're so complacent, they're so comfortable, they're so afraid of rocking the boat and going against the status quo. We have a unicameral, so we only have one house in the body, and the second house really is the people of Nebraska. That's what we always tout. And when we lobby together, we really have accomplished some amazing things. We were able to call for a special session to vote against the vaccine mandates. That went through successfully.
Wait, hold on. Let me interrupt. So there's been special sessions called recently.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yes, there
so
has.
Okay. So it's not unprecedented. So how many special sessions have been called recently in the last 5 years?
I'm not sure about how many, but I know the last big one was definitely the vaccine mandates one.
Great.
And we have over 1,000 people show up on the steps of the Capitol and demand that they call a special session. And
okay,
as that was happening,
we're going to have to do that again. Sorry to interrupt, Malia, but you know, hey, what if we get 2,000 people to demand for a special session and I get Don Jr. and all this? We have our event next week. I'll come back the next week after that. I mean, this is not child's play. We're not dealing with happy talk.
And they're not used to this either.
No, I'm not used to this whole thing, and I the whole thing is just something. Malia, stay right there. She's a superstar. So that's great news. So in 2021 or whatever, 1,000 people go to the Capitol and they get a special session. So, okay, let's say it fails through all this stuff. We have our event next week. Then we'll schedule another event the week after that. I'll try to bring out Don Jr. We'll try to bring out the whole folks, and we'll try to do a whole thing at the Capitol. Now, our event next week is in Omaha, where some of the swing districts are. But if I have to come back to Nebraska, I will. We're just going to keep on increasing the intensity here. Look, the only way is forward or through. I know that some people say, oh, you know, I want my country back. You take your country back. It doesn't come to you out of the skies like some stork drops your country at your doorstep. Here's your country. No, you got to take it back. You got to seize it. You got to use political power. Hey there, investing feels overwhelming right now, doesn't it? So complicated, so many decisions, but leaving your money in the bank, not so great. It's losing value every single day. So if it's stressing you out and driving you nuts, invest with Noble Gold Investments. Their precious metals are simple and real. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but gold was. It's always been there through wars, disasters, and turmoil. Reliable, dependable, and authentic. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They've always had your back. Noble Gold Investments, American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. You'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you. No hassle, no call centers. Colin Plume runs Noble Gold Investments. We've had him on the show before. He's awesome. I love hanging out with him. He's terrific. I can vouch for his integrity and for his knowledge about gold and silver. In fact, I have my silver right next to me right here. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I have vetted them top to bottom. In fact, I know a billionaire that just made a very big purchase of gold from Noble Gold Investments. So visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin at each qualifying IRA investment. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Malia is with us. She's great. And I know we're dedicating a lot of time to Nebraska, and unapologetically, look, we could talk about, you know, Ukraine and all that stuff. We got civilizational defining stuff right now, and we're right over the target. So here's the 1-2-3 list. And Malia, correct me if I'm wrong. Number one is, let's try to get this done by getting cloture switching over. Let's try to get that over, right? Let's try to get cloture switching, which is going to be tough, right? It is, it's going to be tough, but we could try to do that. But that is the path of least resistance right now, that right there. The second option is, let's nicely request, hey, Governor, can you please do a special session on this if the session ends, right? And then the third one is we go do the largest Capitol event in history and do what they try to do. So tell me the story about the vaccine mandates. I think that actually is a really interesting precedent.
Yeah, so this was in 2022, I believe, and They were still trying to pass all this crazy vaccine mandates between the hospital systems and even private practices and things like that. And there really was a big medical freedom movement swell in Nebraska that brought out a lot of grassroots and people who had not previously been engaged. So we really capitalized on that. We coordinated with a lot of other grassroots organizations in the state, grassroots leaders, and we, on a day, and it was cold. I know that it was in the middle of winter, and we had over 1,000 people show up on the steps of the Capitol. We had people emailing their senators, and we had two legislative aides come out from the Capitol that day, hand us a handwritten note and say the session's being called. And so senators can forward the special session, or the governor can as well.
So say that again. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. The second part, who else can call a special session?
The senators can call for a special session.
Like an 80% vote or something, right?
I'm not sure. I know that you have to have one senator to call it, and I think there has to be another one of support, and then they do have to vote on it. Yes, I'm not sure on the numbers on it, but the senators can call for it.
So it's 80% to extend. We'll find the exact number. So it could be the governor, or it could be this. So since we are now of the mentality, we're not going to take no for an answer. We are not going to allow that. So, okay, let's just say the session evaporates and you guys didn't have priority. The next moment that constitutionally provided session is over, we want to go into special session. And so any senator could propose it. Does it require the filibuster rules, or is an up or down vote, or we'll have to look into that?
I think it still requires the filibuster rules. We'll have to check on that. But to my knowledge, the filibuster rules are applicable to every session, every vote.
So then the governor can still call the session outside of the vote to get a session. Is that correct? He could just unilaterally call a session, right?
Yes. So that would be the easier way to do it. Yes.
Got it.
And he can do it without having the votes for cloture. But historically, they haven't done so because it uses a lot of taxpayer dollars to call for a special session.
Well, yeah, I mean, saving the country might cost you a couple bucks, right? I think people
would
likely be okay with that. So the filibuster rules are not infinite. It just requires waiting them out. So if they have only one bill to pass, but they still have to get 33 for cloture, that's what I'm not. But if it's one bill, can't you just wait it out?
So the way that it works is, depending on the round of debate that it's in, it can be, if the speaker doesn't change it, it's 8 hours, 4 hours, or 2 hours of filibuster, depending on the round. At the end, they can run out the clock. At the end of the clock, they have to vote on cloture, and they need 33 votes for cloture. If they don't attain that 33 votes, then the bill dies.
Yeah, I just that rule seems so silly to me. Just, you got to change that rule. It doesn't make any sense to me. And why in a red state would we have such a rule like that, to give such a power to the minority?
See, and that's something that the grassroots have really been pushing for quite a few years now, is trying to get that changed, because that's one of the reasons that we can't get anything passed. This year has been one of the first years where we've had a Republican majority. That's with Senator McDonald switching his voter registration yesterday. And even still, as you're seeing, we're struggling to attain that 33 stronghold vote.
It is remarkable. Okay, Malia, final marching hours here, orders. We are on the case. What are the following marching orders?
So if everyone can reach out to Senator McDonald and Senator Brandt and encourage them, even if they don't want to vote for the bill itself, vote yes on cloture. Put it up for vote in the legislature on the floor. We'll pass it without them. Additionally, we have a rally with you coming up on Tuesday. Yes. We'll have some America First candidates. Dan Fry, he will be there. He's running for CD2. He is an amazing candidate. He has been all over this while other congressional candidates have been pretty quiet about this. So he'll be there as well. And we want all hands on deck. We want everybody involved. Reach out to Speaker Arch. Ask him to prioritize this, whether it's the bill, whether it's the amendment, and encourage him to change the rules on the filibuster.
See you next week, Malia. Thanks so much. We talk about all the problems of the country, and I'm a solution guy. Solution, solution, solution. And we have this opportunity for a solution, and we got to seize it. Yeah, it might be unprecedented or whatever. Imagine if imagine if at Turning Point I just said, well, I don't know if we could do that. You know, here's a good one. Imagine if we just said back in October, well, I guess Rana's just going to be chair forever. You know, maybe we can get rid of her in the future. And we were relentless on that. It wasn't just because of us. There were other groups too. President Trump deserves credit. But according to the Associated Press, they said we get 10% credit for getting rid of Rana. All right, 10% credit. I'll take it. You got to be relentless. And I don't know if the Nebraska folks know just how relentless the Turning Point team can be on this stuff. And relentless is not a bad thing. It's just, we're just not going to stop talking about it. All right. And it's not about credit, right? I don't care about that. I want to win. I, you know who deserves credit? The governor deserves credit. President Trump deserves credit, especially if we're able to get this thing across the finish line. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. We're all getting the sense that we're being lied to. Well, that's because we are. Suspicious events are unfolding. Even worse, it's hard to believe what anyone has to say about it. And we all know the mainstream media has their own agenda. That's why you need to trust your gut and take action. It's time to prepare. Get started at MyPatriotSupply.com. Load up on 3-month emergency food kits packed with ready hour foods from My Patriot Supply. You will save $200 per kit. These kits provide over 2,000 calories every day. Serving over 3 million families since 2008, My Patriot Supply is equipped to help yours achieve self-reliance. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on as many kits as you need from My Patriot Supply. They ship fast and free and arrive in unmarked boxes. Order by 3 p.m. and your order will ship the same day. Save $200 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. They ship fast and free and arrive in unmarked boxes. Order by 3 p.m. today. They're a wonderful, wonderful product, so check it out right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. There's very few people that are heroes in this country that deserve that title. I have become an admirer of the tenacity and of the courage of this individual, Chloe Cole. Chloe Cole is a victim, and I don't use that term lightly. She's a victim of the transgender industry, the assembly line, the conveyor belt. They put her through it. They butchered her. And Chloe Cole is one of the most outspoken detransitioners that talks about how the transgender industry harmed her, and she speaks for the welfare of children across this country. I'm going to play cut 91 of Chloe Cole telling part of her story, in particular in regards to Disney. Let's play cut 91.
I am Chloe Cole, patient advocate for Do No Harm, a group that seeks accountability in the medical profession. I am presenting proposal number 7 titled Report on Gender Transitioning Compensation and Benefits, sponsored by National Legal and Policy Center. Disney pays for gender transition interventions, but not detransitioning care. Therefore, the company discriminates based on gender identity under EEOC regulations. I speak from personal experience. As someone who was deceived and physically harmed at a young age by gender ideology, validated by the medical industry, and pushed to the masses by corporations like Disney. Disney has become the Ursula that is stealing the voices of thousands of little Ariels across the world by telling us that we can be something that we can never become. The lawsuits are coming, sir. It's only a matter of time before current or past employees whose bodies and lives have been irreversibly harmed will show up at your door looking for justice and restitution.
Chloe Cole is with us now. Chloe, welcome to the program. Tell us what you are doing with Disney, and thank you for your courage.
Thank you for having me, Charlie. So the National Legal and Policy Center gave me the opportunity to speak at their annual shareholder meeting, which the NLPC is a shareholder, so that means that they get to propose these measures, and they gave me the opportunity to present this this measure to cover insurance for detransitioning measures like they do with these gender interventions.
So Disney pays for gender interventions for the transgender care, but not for detransitioning. And then they voted this down. Now, this was a very high profile Disney shareholder meeting, largely because there was a effort to try to get rid of Bob Iger as CEO led by Nelson Peltz. But this was not as reported. Disney shareholders reject anti-trans policy in high-stakes annual meeting. Tell us more about it.
Yes, and of course the measure was not passed. But I mainly wanted to raise awareness of the existence of young men and women and boys and girls like me who are harmed by these treatments and end up detransitioning, as well as the harms of this ideology to corporate America.
So Chloe, tell our audience about your story and about how you were captured into the transgender butchering industry and the damage it did to you and why you continue to speak out about this topic.
So my experience with gender ideology began when I was about 12 years old. I started feeling, after years of experiencing autistic symptoms, of going through an early puberty and having body image disorder, that I just would be happier if I was a boy, that I wasn't supposed to be born in the body that I was. And I started calling myself by a boy name. I started identifying as a boy. And I was fast-tracked onto the path of medically transitioning at 13 with puberty blockers and testosterone. And at 15 years old, I underwent a double mastectomy to surgically remove my breasts. And it took less than a year for me to realize that all of this, every single part of this, I regretted it. that I wanted my breasts back, that I wanted to be able to grow up into a woman, that I wanted to have children of my own, and just what all this was taking from me.
You were 15 years old when they did a double mastectomy to you under the guise of gender-affirming care?
Yes, it was just the summer after my sophomore year had ended, actually.
And what was the promise that they made to you and these doctors that did that, that you would be happier and more comfortable in your own body?
Yes, the idea was that I would be closer to this identity that I had as my true self as a man through undergoing these treatments.
So now you have lifelong irreversible damage because of this, and I know you're on the forefront. Is there a way we can legally hold these butchers accountable? And do you feel as if you were lied to by the American medical industry?
I absolutely was lied to. My entire family was lied to. There was no way that I could actually become a man through undergoing these treatments that would modify my body. I would only become a woman with less parts and less function in my body. And they told my mother and father that there was no other choice for me. They were not given any other choice, not even to allow me to just grow up fully as a woman. They were told that I would be at risk of committing suicide when I had not had been suicidal at all before. And we have to hold these doctors accountable by introducing legislation to protect children and also through the lawsuits against these doctors.
Yes. Are you involved in any current lawsuits against the doctors that did you harm?
Yes. I filed suit against my doctors who were involved in my transition and Kaiser Permanente, which was my healthcare provider.
What is the status of that legal complaint?
Right now, we are still in the preparatory phases.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that. And so, I mean, these doctors, when they go through it and they remove your breasts and they put you on these chemical castration drugs, they say that's the only option. What about watchful waiting? You know what watchful waiting? You know what it is. Most gender-confused children grow out of it. Landmark 15-year study concludes, as critics say it shows, being trans is usually just a phase for kids. So, Chloe, we are butchering our children because of a social contagion.
I mean, it absolutely is a social contagion. It's the amount of children, particularly young girls, who have been referred to gender clinics has increased exponentially just within the last decade by about 2,000 to 4,000%. It's obvious that the cure is just puberty. By allowing these kids to grow up without any intervention, without modifying their bodies, they will grow out of this. They will be okay. They deserve to know that they are okay as they were born, that the way that they're made is beautiful, that that is a gift. And by changing that, we are not allowing them to accept themselves.
And it is, so the part you also mentioned, which is so cruel, I hope that people understand how widespread this is, by the way. This is happening to tens of thousands of families, and there's easily over 100,000 that are on hormone blockers or cross hormone therapy, on testosterone replacement therapy. But the blackmail is a real thing, where your parents are said your kid is going to kill themselves if they don't get butchered. Yet, according to a new study, attempted suicide rates more than double after gender reassignment surgery. It's the opposite, actually, Chloe. Your thoughts?
I mean, I was not suicidal at all until after I had been put on these treatments. And it was after that I realized that this could potentially take away my ability to have kids, that I had lost years of my life off of my adolescence, which should have been some of my best years, that I became intensely suicidal.
Yes, here's some of the numbers. Rates of attempted suicide who identified as transgender more than doubled after receiving a vangioplasty, surgically turned one's private part into a vagina, according to a peer-reviewed study published in the Journal of Urology. It's remarkable. Chloe, final thoughts here. How could people support you and get behind the great work that you're doing?
So I'm active on Twitter and Instagram, and I also run a YouTube channel where I'm conducting interviews of other men and women who have detransitioned as well. And my username on all those platforms is the same. It's CHOOCOLE, CHOOCOLE.
Chloe, keep fighting. You're a hero. I know you receive a lot of death threats and a lot of opposition for what you're doing, but please continue fighting, and God bless you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you. Here she is at 12 years old, started to get put through the factory, the assembly line. At 15, they put her down under general anesthesia to remove her breasts. She still has gaping holes in her chest. This is so cruel. And Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, Governor Inslee, they're all in support of this. Zero speed bumps, no questions asked. Oh, you're trans? Let's get you scheduled for surgery. And their life is altered permanently. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set of $59.98, king-size for just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times. I want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for just $59.98 and king size for just $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I want to just, I don't do this as fear-mongering, but if you live in Nebraska right now, or if you're in the Nebraska legislature, what would you tell your kids if all of a sudden the breaking news alerts comes? Donald Trump wins the state of Ohio. Donald Trump wins the state of Iowa. Donald Trump wins the state of North Carolina. Donald Trump wins the state of Florida. Donald Trump flips the state of Georgia. Donald Trump flips the state of Arizona. Donald Trump flips the state of Nevada. Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania, and Joe Biden wins Michigan, and Joe Biden wins Wisconsin. And they'll have that news alert across screen that Joe Biden is reelected with an electoral vote of 270 to 268. But what if I told you that exact same outcome, that exact same result could happen if Nebraska were to change their rules? We'll get them next time. There's a low energy malaise that has infected the Republican Party that doesn't play to win. I will say this, though. This is not even from Bush. This is from something else. And I know we have a Karl Rove tape that we want to play here. Dick Cheney would have got this done. Let me say that again. Dick Cheney would have got this done. Dick Cheney played to win. Dick Cheney played for keeps. Dick Cheney would have had his whole political operation out in Lincoln. They would have been playing hardball, hard to the wall, getting it done. They wouldn't have been messing around. And so look, I got a lot of stuff going on. I got a little one at home. I got 450 employees. We got 300,000 donors. We got 3 hours of radio here. I'm not saying this to complain, but we have the event now. We're going to Nebraska next week. We have it all announced. We're going to be promoting it. I'm going to do this intentionally to provoke you. But I hope every lawmaker in Nebraska watches this tape right here of this grandma that very well might go to federal prison because she walked into the Capitol on January 6th. And every lawmaker in Nebraska, are you guys comfortable with more of this happening? It's in your hands potentially. Play cut 94.
My own country is treating me like a criminal. It's because I believe that they stole my rightful president. And just standing up for my country, it makes me a criminal. And it's just not right. I feel so weird to be here. Over three years ago, I was here.
Her country is treating her like a criminal. But you know what? I'll be honest, the Republican Party doesn't have her back yet. It should. And it can. We don't treat illegals like the criminals that they are, but we treat our MAGA grannies, the grandmothers that went into the Capitol, non-violently. We treat them like they're terrorists. We need a complete and total mindset shift in the Republican Party. We need to change our perspective, change our attitude. Because I'll be honest, you want to know why we're losing the country. We are not losing the country because of George Soros. We are not losing the country because of Barack Obama. We're not. No, no, no. We're losing the country because the Republican Party has an attitude of losing, has an attitude of defeat, has an attitude of surrender. And we're here to try to lead a right-wing revolution. I understand what we've tried to do this week is historic, unprecedented, accelerated, but here we are. This attitude that we're going to try again next year, cut that out. That is not how Americans think. We have a grittiness. We have a resolve. We have a solution-focused, can-do attitude in this country that we could do anything that we put our mind to. Anything. We're the toughest in the world. We need our leaders to start to reflect that. That urgency is necessary. So we're not going to lay off. We are going to be relentless. Okay, the bill might fail. We're going to do it again. Oh, the bill might fail. Special session. Oh, they're not going to call it. Rally on the Capitol. Oh, they're going to ignore us. 2,000 people. Oh, they're going to ignore us again. Try to get Trump involved. Okay, we're going to keep on upping the ante. We've just started to fight because this country is worth it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.